Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Legend Rouge Cycling Podcast, presented by Zwift for the short and sharp Barcelona circuit stage at the end of Volta a Catalunya. Finishes really, really early. It's the earliest we've ever recorded a pod, I think. And it's 138 kilometers long. They do it, I think, hopefully, so that everyone can watch the final of Gent Wevelgem. It has a climb at the start, 5.4k, 6%, to let the brake form nicely in the northwest of Barcelona. Then a flat run in where some two intermediates will be gobbled up by the brake through Llobregat. And then five repetitions, six even, if I can count properly, of the Montjuïc circuit, which is a punchy little climb. It's got the first gate 5% flat, and then the last 700 meters at 11%. Very punchy, a very fast descent afterwards. Good road surface, wide road around the circuit here. Lots of crowds out, lots of riders, friends, family, and partners usually come and because then they drive back to Andorra or Girona afterwards. So it's a great stage. Remco 10 seconds back. Benji, I did the quick maths last night. On stage finishing positions, if Remco won the stage, Roglic would have to finish 10th or worst. So really, Remco had to gap Roglic today to win GC.
Exactly. And next to that, the intermediate sprints in the stage were like both of them in the middle of the stage, which
terrible
means that
spot,
they're
yeah.
bloody terrible. At them in the Montjuïc circuit, like at the
top of Montjuïc,
two hills.
Imagine.
Oh, that would be amazing. I think at some point in the past, there it might have been on one of the climbs, if I recall correctly, in one of the years. But that being said, break up the road at the start of the stage. And it was a pretty strong breakaway, I would say. Carlos Verona, Jo Martin, Biscara, Bouchard, Carapaz, Ethan Hayter, De La Cruz, Carr, and Girmay. So the only two with two riders in there was Carapaz and Carr for EF. Ethan Hayter being in there, interesting. His form hadn't been that great this week, I would say. So I wasn't necessarily seeing him survive these climbs at the level of the better climbers in this race, but at least he's trying something. So that's something, I guess. Anyway, we knew that the stage was going to happen throughout the Montjuïc circuit. Eh? What did you do before we got to the Montjuïc circuit?
What did I do? Nothing. I walked Toby around the block. He saw his friends. Went to the
Man,
bakery.
That was the perfect segue for a Zwift part segment.
No, I'm going to Zwift after this. The Zwift plugs, we don't just make it up. It's like, yeah, I'm going to Zwift after this. That's how I planned it out. I had a lazy Sunday morning. I'm not going to lie to the audience. I did nothing. I walked Toby around the block, went to the bakery, had a coffee, and watched Catalunya. Like, yeah, but afterwards, I will be jumping on the Zwift because I've actually noticed, and probably a lot of people are similar, but I've been tracking it now. Like my mood, if I don't do over 40 minutes like exercise, even at low intensity, even though I'm just spinning around Watopia, it really drastically affects my mood afterwards. So maybe I should have done it before the pod. So I was in a good mood for you, Benji. Maybe that's why you're like, why is he in a good mood if he hasn't done any exercise? But yeah, if you want to check out Zwift, the perfect platform to keep on top of your fitness goals, particularly when it's windy, rainy, like where Benji usually lives, where Gent Wevelgem is. Yeah, not in the UK now, but still, if you're in the UK, probably should get a Zwift subscription. You can get a free 7-day trial through Zwift.com through the link down below. But this stage is very straightforward. Quick step, we're going to do exactly what they've been doing all week. They are going to control the brake because they need the bonus seconds at the finish. And so this strong break, they basically burnt Seri and Vavarka on the flat run-in. And that was hard for them because the break was strong and it was cooperating. Like those guys in that break were good riders and it was eight or plus riders deep. So they've kept that break at, first it was 130, they wiped 30 seconds off it. They then enter the circuit and like Carapaz and David de la Cruz are already messing it up. So the break gave up because they were kept so tight by Quickstep, but Quickstep then don't have too many riders left. And it's just obvious Quickstep are going to launch Remco not on the last, not on the second last. Yeah. It's going to be early because they already used Masnada, Benji, and it was like hit on the second lap of Montjuïc.
Yeah, indeed. We look at those Montjuïc climbs, and on the first one we see Quickstep pace. We see that Van Welder is in the wheel of Remco, and I was like, is this temporary, or is this an attempt to keep Roglic off the wheel of Remco at this point in the race? Spoilers, it was temporary. They switched around at some point in the next two circuits. But we see, from that point onwards, them pacing, basically. And on the second Montjuïc climb, like you mentioned, Jan Hirt is being used. And we see that Cataneo is behind Hirt, then it's Remco, then it's Van Wilder. And you see on that second Montjuïc, Remco go into his radio and shout at it, and then Hirt ups the tempo there. So clearly there were instructions to go hard on the second Montjuïc by Jan Hirt. He punched in the tempo, people were dropping, and we were looking at Cataneo taking over on the steep part of that second Montjuïc. Now, no attack yet, because Van Wilder's still there. And we noticed towards the third Montjuïc that Cataneo goes hard in the run-in, and we see behind him, Van Wilder and Remco switch positions. So, for me, this is like a two-phoned-in attack, but like, can you do a non-phoned-in attack on this circuit? Because like, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the next climb is going to be the attack, eh?
Like, planning last night, we're, you know, discussing the stage with Jumbo, is like, there's only so much you can do on this stage. It's not like Remco is Savile Dele and he's going to attack on the descent. I think it's what you said yesterday, Benji. Attacking on the hard, steep part's too obvious.
Yeah.
Because Roglic is going to be right on the wheel. And that's exactly what happens. Like, Roglic is glued to Remco's wheel. And also, this race, Remco's put Roglic in the most difficulty, not when it's been steepest. On La Molina, when he had that long close on the 4% gradient, yeah, that seemed to really fry Roglic. So, yeah, it's almost like the most obvious place to attack is where Quickstep did it. It is the steepest part of the course. You have to be better. Remco can only win GC if he's significantly better than Roglic on this stage, and Roglic has come into good shape. So, I mean, we knew it was going to happen. We knew he was going to try. But Roglic would have to really crack, and we're not in France.
Exactly. And you can start thinking outside of the box and think, oh, where can Remco attack where Roglic doesn't expect it? But it's also a bit less effective in those editions. Because if you say, oh, he's going to attack on the flat, what is he going to do? Is he going to attack the peloton with still four Jumbo riders before we get to that third Montjuïc? That's not going to work out. So you'd have to like fake an attack on one climb, and then in the flat section afterwards, make the move. But then there's so many people that might have recovered in the descent to follow you. So it's really not simple to make this move here. And we see the move happen on the Montjuïc climb. Van Wilder is the final pull on the steeper section before Remco punches away. But it's not necessarily like the most brutal attack, right? It's like an attack where he ups the tempo a bit, and Roglic and Soler can follow, and the rest can't follow. But it's not like the attack where he's like, vroom, 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 like
Liège
at the top
in
of
the drops, right?
Yes, but it's also on a flatter part.
Yeah. That's also, I thought he was, you remember in Pays Vasco last year, stage 4 or 5, when he was with Alaphilippe, and there was a steep climb, and then it leveled off to false flat. And it was one of the stages where he was kind of helped, and he attacked after the steep bit. I thought he was going to basically bait on the steep part of Montjuïc and just at the top do the Liège sprint.
Yeah.
And try and get separation that way and go around Van Wilder, cut off the draft of your wheel, turn it into a sprint, whatever. But he didn't. And also, it's very, very difficult. Like, Primoz Roglic on a sunny Barcelona circuit like this is also pretty good. Like, the guy's won Giro dell'Emilia. He's won Milano Torino. Like, he's very good on these sort of circuits. And so Remco tried. Soler bridges across on the descent. I called Soler yesterday. I thought Remco wouldn't pace Roglic so much, and Soler would be able to counter them on the descent, and that would have been glorious for me, glorious for Soler. Dishonorable that they didn't. And Remco paces. Roglic gives him, and this is what I sort of suggested yesterday, Roglic gives him like a symbolic turn, I would say. It's not a real turn, at least for the first couple of Montjuïc circuits when they're on their own.
Yep, indeed. A few of those, like, first it was one turn, I was thinking, okay, he's actually relaying with Remco, but I was also expecting it to stop pretty soon after, because maybe the car would pop in, or maybe it was just a symbolic turn, like you mentioned, to say, okay, I'm doing 10% of the turns, just because I kind of feel bad for you.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to do most of the work. And we see a bit later that Remco once again has to complain a bit, because Roglic stops taking over. And when it comes to the complaining, I'm not against the initial complaining. Complain once or twice.
Oh, you gotta ask the question.
Yeah, you gotta complain once or twice to put a bit of mental pressure on everybody and see, do they snap? Do they do anything? But if that doesn't work, then you continue doing what your plan is. And the question is, what is the plan here? There's only two options, I feel like. There's actually not much Remco can do from this situation at this point in the race, if I see it. Either he stops, starts attack on the hills, which is risky with the group behind, but I wouldn't care too much about the group behind because you can drop him on the last hill anyway.
And he's like a minute ahead of Almeida in third.
Yes.
Like, he's got a margin to play with.
Or the other option is you do his signature move, which he does so many times, which is you just keep on riding all out. You hope that it puts pressure on Roglic throughout the entire parkour. And if it doesn't, you stop pacing at the top of the last Mondrewik and you go for the stage.
I was, to be honest, like, I like Remco, but this week, he and Quickstep didn't really have a plan B in any scenario. They had the plan, we're going to launch him here. Oh, it didn't work. What now? Like, there's no, because you can't just expect to drop Roglic off the wheel first attack today. That's not how cycling, well, at least it'd be great if you could, but I wouldn't expect it to happen. I think he should have gambled with chaos behind. Like, that's your only option at this point. Like, Roglic is going to be happier. First of all, if Roglic goes to the line with you and Soler on the same time, that's great. He doesn't even need to contest the sprint. He comes third. Yep. He loses 6 seconds. He wins GC. If it's a big group behind, Hindley's going to attack. Krohn might attack. Rouget, Adrien might attack.
Almeida.
You know, a bit of chaos. And listen, Roglic, he's more likely to crash. He has to contest the sprint. I think he's more like, and also just conserve. Try a full gas sprint again next Mondewith. I think riding like he did with basically Colbrelli in the wheel and Euro champs, he's not really devised an alternative strategy to that.
Agreed. What I see as a potential option is a really risky strategy, but I would have enjoyed seeing it play out here to see how Roglic might respond in a Giro, for example. What would Roglic do if Remco, with Roglic in the wheel, doesn't respond to attacks by Soler and lets him ride off 50 seconds, a minute,
100%.
A minute 10. That puts Roglic under pressure. And then Roglic has to ride and he can attack from his wheel. But it's a scenario where you might see Bahrain starting to pace, which might ruin your entire race and might make you feel like you didn't do anything at the end of the day if it doesn't work out.
Oh, actually, Soler was on 2 minutes. That's so big. Try something different. Try something different. Just pacing at 80%, 90% with Roglic in the wheel is not going to go for GC. Now, we're talking third and second Mondewith. Eventually, Remco goes hard again on the second last Mondewith.
Yeah.
That drops Soler. He's got Primoz still in the wheel. I'll say it again. Remco's descending didn't look too flash hot, and Primoz definitely wanted to take front position on the descents and was quicker downhill, maybe a bit too quick. I think Remco dropping Soler there is to get rid of him for the stage.
I think so as well. And, well, that's a pretty obvious conclusion, and I fully agree with you. And we see them continue a bit, and then Remco keeps on riding a bit, and now we feel like Roglic is doing a bit more turns now and then because the danger for GC is less at this point. So he's like, I might as well turn a bit. I feel confident that I can follow him any attack that follows on the next Mondewith. But then we look at the group behind for a second, where we see that before the second Mondewith, Almeida's closing any attack behind the Soler group. He's like going to the wheel of a certain rider that is attacking and sits on the wheel. That attack stops. And UAE does that with three riders sitting behind the first rider that is pacing. So good work by UAE, teamwork behind Soler. And then we get over the second Mondewith, and then it changes. Then everything turns around because certainly Adam Yates is starting to pace on the last Mondewith with Almeida in his wheel. And when Adam Yates is off the back, Almeida keeps pushing And they're basically about to catch Soler on the top of Last Munch with, before we get to like the discussing Remco versus Roglic. What did you feel about this switch in strategy? Was this Almeida saying, fuck this, I want my third spot?
I think Almeida didn't want to get attacked. But he's got, I'm checking from yesterday, 48 seconds on Lander. So I guess Soler got his chance to go up clear. Once he got dropped, Almeida has no responsibility anymore to protect him. So he rode to protect his own GC, which I think is fair enough. Like, I think when Soler was with the group, he didn't do anything untoward towards Soler. So anyway, Last Munch with Remco kind of just paces. Afterwards, Roglic takes the front on the descent. Roglic also starts to take over 50% of the pulls into the finish. He's just keeping the pace up so they can go to the finish. And what could have been a really explosive stage, kind of, I mean, I want a Soler to win, but he got dropped, unfortunately. And then they come into the finish. We're like, ooh, Roglic is leading him out. He doesn't need to lead him out. And he starts pacing. He keeps pacing. I see 200 meters to go, 150 meters to go. He doesn't really get into the drops. And Remco comes past him sprinting, and Remco wins the stage. Big celebration, but Roglic clearly gifted the stage.
Yeah. Roglic clearly gifted that stage. Well, you can argue that you don't know if Roglic would have won the sprint with Remco being in his wheel in that descent in the first place, but Roglic might not have been in first position in the first place if he didn't want to give the stage on paper. But there's a few options here. Either they agreed after the second Last Munch with that Remco just wants the stage at this point because he doesn't feel like he's going to drop Roglic. But my argument there is, what does Remco have to negotiate here? Like, what can Remco offer to Roglic here? Except for, I won't attack on the next Munch with, which Roglic should feel confident that he can follow anyway at this point. So Roglic should not have gifted the stage. This is disgusting. And I wanted to sprint.
I think Roglic should have gifted it. It's the alpha move. He's like, I don't care about this stage. Like, have the stage if it means so much to you. What's crazy is the interviews.
You can also look at it differently. He didn't dare to sprint with Remco.
Yeah, you can't crash if you don't sprint, I guess. I mean, yeah, as you tweeted, like, Gino made us, like, are you kidding? What the hell? But the difference is Remco pulled. I don't know, like, most riders have never won a World Tour race. A lot of riders, and winning a World Tour race would be their dream. But Remco's celebration, a little bit much, I think, for a gifted stage. I was like, and I to the point where I don't know if he knew it was gifted. Like,
is that possible that Roglic just thought to himself, I don't care, I just want to get second?
I don't think
there
was a verbal agreement.
Okay, well, then you also can't expect Remco to not celebrate once he flies past Roglic.
I mean, come on, like, Roglic didn't even try. Like, he thinks Roglic couldn't, he thinks he just walked past Roglic. Like, it was clearly gifted. A bit of it's like what Lance gifted Vontu to Pantani, but never made it like clear. Like, there was no, he just decided to do it. And I think it's a bit of mind games, but I think it's mind games. But also, in reality, I think it's Roglic being like, he's tried yesterday. I was really negative yesterday, correctly, but I was negative yesterday. He's done most of the work today. Here you go. Have a stage. I've already won two.
Exactly. Now, the next alpha move would be going to the press, go to the media interview and be like, oh, I just felt it was correct to give to Remco the stage after all the work he did. After Remco celebrated the victory.
I don't think he'll do that. He'll be out.
He won't do that.
I don't think so either, but that would be a snake move. That would be a Nibali move. Like, Nibali would do that shit.
Maybe. But anyway, interesting to see the mind games and everything happening before the Giro d'Italia. Evenepoel winning the stage ahead of Roglic. Soler still sits in third. Stays ahead of the group. Corbin Strong wins the sprint for fourth. GC. Oscar Onley was in 10th, so I don't know why they sent him in the break this week. He should have been trying for a GC position on DSM, but yeah, he was very strong on the finish. GC, absolutely no changes in the top 10. So this stage kind of looks like the Paris-Nice stage, but it really, the huge gaps and swings rarely happen on this. The weather's too good. A stage or climb isn't long enough. And so, yeah. And the climb's also in all in the last hour of the stage. So maybe we hyped it up a little bit too much. At least Evenepoel tried. And I think after the Vuelta last year, Benji, it's now 1-1 to Roglic. And also Roglic will be leaving this race with a lot of confidence, particularly after he wasn't, I mean, he still won GC at Tirreno, but this was a much more impressive performance than in Tirreno Adriatico.
Exactly. I still believe that he wouldn't have won on Sassuolo at all if there was no headwind. Mas would have won that stage very likely, or Ciccone, depending on his form that day, because he was also good that day and here in Catalunya as well. So we've seen a significant step up from Roglic from that level, because I feel like a lot of factors played into Roglic stage wins at Tirreno, also in the hilly Muro stage, where a lot of tactics of other teams were very abysmal, looking at UAE. But that doesn't mean he didn't deserve the victory there, because he was still the strongest in the group sprints, and that group sprint will matter still. Do you think that we will still see an upping of the form of Roglic towards the Giro, and whether that will make the difference in their sprint a bit bigger? Because currently, I see if they go through the sprint on a stage, it's sometimes going to a 50-50, maybe a 60-40 towards Roglic still. But
yeah,
it's a lot closer than in the past, and there's a lot of stages like Lago Laseno, for example, which is like a climb and then 4 kilometers flat in the Giro. All these kind of
in
stages where a group
too.
Sprint can occur. Probably that's a stage for a breakaway, most likely, like a fucking DeMarchi in the break or something. But
DeMarchi is probably going to win a Giro break. He's been in pretty good shape. He's been in the break in Catalunya on stage one. I think we'll see the biggest difference in Roglic on like a La Molina-style stage, like he wouldn't be getting dropped in top shape on that sort of stage. I know Quickstep made it harder, but the watts weren't crazy on the final climb in that shallow gradient. So that's the biggest difference. But to be honest, in terms of his peak watts, it's going to be very hard to improve compared to Laporte, because that was his best pure power performance ever. Obviously, low altitude, easy stage before, yada, yada, yada. But that was a PB for many of the riders because of the conditions. I see it more in the hard stages.
Yeah.
There's the margin for improvement.
I think so as well, because if you look at the stages that came this week, we noticed that La Molina, where Quickstep based the earlier climbs, more kilojoules in the legs, was the one where Roglic really folded in the end. So there's also the fact that the Giro doesn't really have, except for like Campo Imperatore, or is that not the name of the climb? There's a climb where it's like a climb with 6% just at the finish line for like 28 kilometers at 4% in average, but some sections of 6% there are of like 6 kilometers a few times. So that stage, that feels like the only real Unipuerto stage in the Giro, if my mind serves me right. So there's a lot of just harder stage, like Transmontana. It's not a Unipuerto stage. That's kilojoules in excess with the Croix de Coeur before we get to the valley, before we get to the Transmontana finish. And then we see at Tricima di Lavaredo, the final stage, that's brutal. Maybe the time trial is the one that is most like, then again, they've been riding so much on the flat before. The final time trial, the mountain time trial.
Yeah. I still don't know what equipment they're going to use on that. They're going to have to do a bike change, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
The Tour de France one is a little bit more difficult to know what people will do. But
yeah,
in terms of the Giro, this has been a very, very nice appetizer. Roglic has won 6 World Tour races so far this year. That's already one more than last year. He is clearly back and motivated after the surgery, after a disappointing year, it must be said, last year with the crashes and the level even in the Dauphiné. And so the Giro is, I cannot wait. Almeida's in great shape. Vlasov's coming in. Remco's got a point to prove now after
Thomas.
Timing is peak. He's got Tour of the Alps. Tour of the
he
Alps.
He keeps
will
saying
know.
It. He keeps saying
no,
it.
No, he always wins his last stage race. Tour of the Alps. We don't worry about Catalunya. Tour of the Alps. He'll do the business.
Okay. Okay. We'll
Fingers
see.
Crossed.
Okay.
Fingers
I believe
crossed.
In you.
But yeah, it's, I would say, Quickstep tactically a little bit outclassed this week. Must be said. I don't think they had a plan B. And also in the bonus seconds were crucial. And also Remco celebrating on La Molina, if that cost him a second, then does he have to attack like that on, what's it called, Laporte? And then that changed the complexion of the race. So they made a few tactical mistakes throughout the week, whereas Roglic, I think, didn't really put a foot wrong.
I feel like I would have enjoyed seeing more experimental tactics being thrown in the ring in Catalonia, knowing it's not the Giro yet. For example, on the La Molina stage, on the Crueta climb, I would have wanted to see Quickstep try to thin down the herd on the Crueta climb and have Remco attack on the last steep section there, putting pressure early on Roglic there. Even though he ended up winning the stage anyway, maybe the gap would have been more significant there. And that's a high-risk, high-reward play, but you can afford to do that on Catalonia, and you cannot afford to do that in the Giro. So, unless you're really far
like
behind.
Like me, they thought he'd just win on the port.
Yeah, true. Agreed. I thought as well.
Which is risky.
It is risky, but we all thought it anyway.
Yeah, but it's just a lesson. Cycling, you can't assume people will stay the same level throughout a race, or they might not improve, or you'll take time then. Don't worry about today. Even though I'm stronger today, I'll get those seconds the next day. Very, very risky to do that in cycling. Anyway, we'll go and watch Gent Wevelgem now, which is about to be kicking off as they get into the hills. A very, very exciting edition of Volta a Catalunya. We've been sport with Paranese, Torino, and Catalunya. Pace Fasco is going to be good too. I think one of the best. The early season racing this year, stage racing, has been unbelievably good with the spread of talent around the races. Just missing Ayuso here would have added a extra UAE spice. That was a shame, but lovely addition. Roglic wins, and he's back. Until Gent Wevelgem later today, ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.